And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. And you've got an opportunity in 2 weeks to really help us out. We'll have one of our two major fundraisers that we try to have each year. And this one happens to be our golf outing that's going to take place on Tuesday, October the 17th. And this year we are at Tallamore Country Club over in Ambler, Pennsylvania. So we got a change in the day. It's a Tuesday instead of a Monday, again, October the 17th. And we'll be at Tallamore Country Club for the first time. We're still looking for golfers. Talked to Maureen before we went on the air today, and a little lighter in registration this year than in previous years. So if you haven't registered yet and are planning to, we'd appreciate it if you let us know. There's also plenty of sponsorship opportunities. All the information for the outing can be found on our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you'll find a brochure there that you can download. Again, it has all the information, and you can either fill out that information and mail it in or give Maureen a call here at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. I'm going to be blessed that day to be joined by my father and my son-in-law. We're still looking for a fourth for golf, but it's always a great day. And if you're not a golfer, you can always just send a check separately. You can also come out just for dinner. Again, the information is there in the brochure on the website. Also coming up on Monday, October the 30th, Kathleen will be back at the Malvern Retreat House for a one-evening event. Begins at 6 o'clock. We'll wrap up around 9:30. And the evening is for Spiritual Warfare 2023, How the Enemy Targets Our Families and How to Stop It. And she's got experience in stopping it, especially if you follow what went on in her family over the last year or so. The evening will begin at 6 with Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, the Rosary, and live worship music at 6:30. Kathleen will speak at 7:30, and the evening will be capped off with fellowship. You're asked to reserve your seat. There's no cost, but they want to know how many people are coming. So if you go to salvationofsouls.net, that's salvationofsouls.net, you can register there. All right, without any further ado, today is the last Wednesday of the month, and as it's been now for over a year, that last Wednesday we called Divine Will Wednesday, and Peter DePalma, from all the way from Kunkeltown, Pennsylvania, always is here on that Wednesday, and occasionally brings a guest with him. Unfortunately, the guest we have planned for today decided she was going to go to Medjugorje instead. Imagine that. Our friend, Sister Francesca, who's been with us at least once, maybe twice, a beautiful soul. So it's just going to be Peter and I today. So welcome to the show, Peter. It's great to have you back again.
Same here, Ken. Thanks be to God for the opportunity. Thanks to In His Sign for having the insight. I mean, think about what the name of this program is, What the World Needs Now. And you know, we've been like a broken record trying to plead, trying to beg people to recognize that what the world needs now is love, as Kathleen states, and God is love. And God is saying, when he returns, which may be soon, will he find faith? Well, Jesus tells us in Volume 2 in the Book of Heaven that faith equals God. So in essence, God is saying, when I return, will there be God? Will there be God in your life? And, you know, Ken, one thing that has always sort of dropped off my radar. I don't remember it as often as I used to, and I should. But this gift of living in divine will, well, besides it being the greatest gift that God has given to mankind, you know, Jesus has said that, but he also goes one step farther, and actually Father Iannuzzi reminds us of this. Yes, it's the greatest gift that God has given to mankind, but even more importantly, it is the greatest gift that he can ever give to mankind, because he's giving his whole self, and there's nothing greater than God himself. So again, we can't miss the boat. I mean, we've been waiting for our ship to come in. We've been waiting for the train at the train station. Here it is. And Jesus is very, very blunt. He tells us in Volume 20, October 6th, 1926, he says this, quote, "Rejecting my will instead is to reject the means in order to live. It is to destroy the font of life. It It is the greatest evil that can exist. Therefore, one who does so great an evil does not deserve to live. On the contrary, he deserves to die to all goods. End quote. Now, God usually doesn't speak this direct. I mean, to say that, to reject the divine will is the greatest of all. I mean, don't worry about doing evil. The greatest evil you can do is to say, well, yeah, it sounds nice. Yeah, Kennedy, he's a good guy. Hey, he probably thinks this is very good, but, you know, it's not for me. To reject the divine will is the greatest of all evils. And then he says also that that soul deserves to die in all goods. It's almost like he calls it like a thief. Like, for example, God has created everything in creation for man to recognize God, to remember God, to love God, to give God the glory and the honor. And if we're going to use all these things that God has created for man and not use it for its intended purpose, we're basically like thieves. We're stealing it. We're using it without paying for it. Our payment is just to give glory to God and honor to God. That's all when he says he wants his paternity back, what does he want? He wants to be a father. Mm-hmm. He wants that thank you from the child. He wants that I love you, Dad, from the child. That's all he wants. And he gives us this abundance and looks for very little in return. Amen. So, yeah, what the world needs now is love. What the world needs now, really, is the gift of the divine will in each and every one of us.
Yeah, and you were saying it. I don't know. I know I told our mutual friend Maureen Lamedy, but I don't know if I told you. You know, we're in a renovated studio. It's beautiful. But we were put out for about a month, and everything had to be taken out of here. And there were probably, if not thousands, at least hundreds of books from people that we've interviewed over the years that sent us copies of books and what have you. And this went all the way back, the decades, and stuff that was here from when the founder, Dom Lettieri, was here. And amongst those were three books, two different titles. The one title had two copies and was actually signed by Father Iannuzzi and given to Dom Lettieri. Interesting that I'm sure that Dom was aware of, and I'm not 100% certain of how in-depth they got with the divine will. This probably would have been back in the 90s and very, very early 2000s if they talked about it on the air at all. So we've kind of come full circle. One of the Peter and I were talking yesterday about what we wanted to maybe a topic for today, and we always see where the Holy Spirit leads. But one of the things we did want to talk about was the only prayer that Jesus Christ gave us. He walked this planet for 33 years, the last 3 years in public ministry. And you would have thought that there'd be a whole prayer book somewhere of all the prayers that he had given his disciples and his followers. And in fact, he only gave us one prayer. When his apostles asked him, how do we pray? What do we pray? He taught them the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. And I think about that sometimes, Peter, and I think about how many billions of times, maybe trillions now, of times that Our Father prayer has been said. And I know in my own lifetime of 62 years, it was probably the first prayer I was taught. And how many times I've said it, whether it be at Mass, as part of the rosary, part of my ritual at night when I was younger, whatever it was, how many times we've prayed that Our Father. And as you were talking about people that reject God's will, I think about all my friends that are in recovery from addiction and how we, one of the secrets to living a successful life after acquiring an addiction or living with an addiction is to discern what God's will is for you. And even though we may not have physically died, I think if somebody that's been in recovery long enough would certainly admit that they were like, and I know I was death warmed over. It was walking dead. And so it doesn't necessarily mean a physical death that you're going to experience when we turn our back on God's will. But we'll definitely experience that spiritual death. And since all life, comes from God, to not even try a little bit to discern that will and I just know from my own life was disastrous. But where I'm going with this is, you know, this only prayer that the Lord gave us has a prophecy in it. And I never knew that until the first time I had Daniel O'Connor on. And that, you know, we could talk for quite a while just about how that came about. But he wrote a book called Thy Will Be Done. And he talks about that particular part of the prayer being a prophecy. And that Jesus, and he tells Louisa that he never would have put it in the prayer if it wasn't going to be fulfilled. And so over the last 21 months or so that I've gotten more and more familiar with this gift of the divine will and Louisa Picaretta, I've come to realize that there's also thousands of people around the world that are praying just for that, for God's will to come to earth. And you alluded to that a moment ago when you talked about Jesus Christ coming. And I heard it again in a recent video with Mother Gabriel and Sister Francesca talking about that exact same thing. And so in this recovery world that I belong to, I often think now about how many millions, and I'm sure it's millions of times a day, the Our Father is said by the people that are going to the 12-step meetings. And a lot of those meetings will close with the Lord's Prayer. And, one of the other prayers that they'll pray is the Serenity Prayer. And it's not formally part of the prayer, but everybody always tacks on to the end, Thy will, not mine, be done. And so that's what Jesus came for. And especially in the last 100-plus years in bringing us the Book of Heaven through Louisa, is to bring about the fulfillment of the Lord's Prayer, that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it tells Louisa that, that's going to happen. It is going to happen. And, the people that we're running around with, Peter and in the cenacles with, and, the religious that are involved, the Mother Gabriels, the Father Iannuzzi, Father Celso. I've been watching a little bit of Father John Olin off of your website of late. All said that this is coming. And that's what they're praying for. And I think there's probably not an equal number, but quite a few people that are praying that the chastisements never come. And that's where I was going with this. Mother Gabriel was saying recently how all these people are praying, bring on the chastisements, because what's coming after is going to be glorious. So we wanted to talk a little bit about today about the Our Father and what Jesus had to say about it in the volumes. And how important that prayer really is. And I think, like me, if you learn it as a kid, perhaps you take it for granted and you don't even think about the words we're saying. But this idea of Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's going to be a glorious time, Peter.
Certainly is. You made that point earlier, Ken, about when Jesus was on the earth in his public ministry, he didn't write volumes. He didn't write novenas. Again, these are all good and holy things. Because if you think about it, now that we have this explication of the Book of Heaven, and that's what the divine will is an explication. It's not new, but yet it is. Well, it's actually the oldest because Adam lived it and Eve lived it. But our catechism actually protects us in this void also. It's Article 66, and it states, I'll try to remember it as best I can. It states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the future generations to better understand what has already been given, end quote. So now we understand, that question also haunted me. Why didn't he leave sort of like his own gospel, the gospel of Jesus? Why didn't he write his own book? These are the instructions. And now we're learning through the Book of Heaven that his whole ministry was to shine the light on the Father, was really to shine the light on the Mother, to get us ready. Because again, he says, I think it's in volume 16, Ken, and this is startling, and this is actually difficult for some Catholics to comprehend. Even though Jesus said it, and even though it's volume 16, and that volume does have, in its Italian translations, the church is imprimatur in the Elopsis, but Jesus says, everything that I've done, everything that I've given the world, the church, the sacraments, the saints, the graces, the Eucharist, everything that I've given has had as its primary purpose, they've been used as seeds for the primary purpose of returning everyone to that perennial gift that Adam and Eve enjoyed, the prelapse here and there of Adam, that perfect unity, that perfect unification that Adam enjoyed before he sinned. So everything that we have is for that primary purpose. And therefore, the church can never stand still. I mean, I've got friends that love the Latin Mass, and they were devastated when the Mass changed. And then some of them won't even acknowledge anything past Vatican II. But the church has to, the Latin Mass is beautiful. It's actually my favorite, too. It served its purpose for 1,500 years. And now it's time to move on. And now God has to keep moving. His church has to keep moving. Why? Because it hasn't achieved its goal. Its goal is not just to have the Latin Mass. It's to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by God. To go back to that peace, that serenity, that communion that the Our Father calls us back to. And that's really, you made a great point too, Ken, about how many times do we say, I mean, I am guilty of that. How many times do I recite that prayer and not even think about the words, just recite it out of memory? And after your comments, I'm going to read a bit what Jesus says about that too, which is really startling. And I think once we understand that, I think we will never recite or pray, is a better word, the Our Father, the way we used to ever again.
Amen. You know, a few years back, I purchased a missal, and I always have it with me. Take it to Mass every day. And there's certain things in here that I you know, highlight, and people probably think I'm crazy because I'll be at Mass, I'll have a pen in my pocket, and something will strike me, and I'll make a note or something like that. And I'm actually started to write a little book about all my notes that are in here because I know that they'll benefit other people. But in there, where the when you get to the page with the Our Father, you know, and it follows immediately after the Eucharistic prayer. But I have it underlined with an exclamation point, "I will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And the when I originally got the missal, it was to prevent distractions. If I keep my nose in the missal and I'm not looking around, I'm not nearly as distracted as I used to be. So that was the initial purpose of the missal. But now I've got that underlined. To your point about Jesus doing everything for the glory of the Father, you know, I have underlined in the Sanctus, the holy, 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 heaven and earth are full of your glory. We say that at every Mass that we go to, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. I think it may be another one that we've said it so many times that we don't think about what we're saying. Well, I've got heaven and earth are full of your glory, underlined in exclamation points, stars, because that's part of what I've learned as part of the gift of the divine will. And you mentioned that earlier, have all, you know, all of creation was created by God for us and for us to use, not abuse, and but in return, give glory to God for that. And here we say it every day, or every time we go to Mass. But I bet if you took a poll of people walking out, they wouldn't be able to remember that they'd even said it, let alone give glory to God. So just a little tidbit there on some of the helps that have helped me in addition to, you know, Louisa's writings.
Well, you know, Ken, I think you just gave us a great example of this explication that the church speaks of. You know, how we're getting a greater understanding as to what's occurred. On our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, we have a page entitled Understanding the Mass. Once you start to dive into the divine will, again, the grace and graces that God gives, it's insurmountable, and it's unrecognizable, and it's unexplainable. But if you go to that, and I've gone to that recently, and then you start to look at the rubrics of the Mass, and all those instances, again, like you said, Ken, we either take for granted or just didn't recognize why we're actually doing that. Now all of a sudden, as it's explained, we can populate it into the divine will template, so to speak. And the piece of the puzzle starts to take shape where we can actually see it better. You know, I'm a visual person, and I think we're all visual to a certain extent. But God gives us that we're using our imagination, and like St. John of the Cross says, that's good. We need to start with that. But then there comes a point in time when we sort of hit our max, so to speak, and then we've got to defer our imagination to God's. And that's contemplative prayer. That takes us to a whole different level. It's where a meditation leaves off, where that's the best of our ability. And now contemplation is where God can take us, and he can take us anywhere we want, depending on where we want to go. So all of that is going to be recognizable. And I think that's fuel for the fire. As you recognize that you're gaining insight, you're gaining understanding, you're saying, well, I didn't study any harder. I didn't get any more sleep than I did usually. Why am I recognizing this? It's the divine will. Because the divine will is everything. Adam had everything. Eve had everything. And God's giving us everything back and even more. Because remember, Adam and Eve did not have Jesus and Mary.
Yeah, interesting. And this last bit with the Sanctus, the holy, 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 it didn't even come from, you know, one of the divine will cynicals or what have you. It was from another priest I had on the radio a month ago talking about a book he wrote called The Holy Silence and talking about how we should be praying the Sanctus many times a day. And he used the word Sanctus, and I'm like, okay, I think that's the holy, holy, holy. And sure enough, you know, I went back and looked it up. And that's when, you know, what kind of triggered me to take a closer look at this prayer. And when I did, it's like, this is divine will. And it was, you know, one of those aha moments that they experienced, one of many over the last 20 months or so.
Yeah, the Sanctus, if you think about it, Ken, it's a round, in essence.
Yep.
Through the Sanctus, you're giving glory to God on the level of God, which, again, Adam, that was his full-time job. And, of course, he got laid off because he was disobedient, and he didn't finish his job. And, of course, God had to do it on his behalf. But now he's asking us to also to cooperate in that as well. So as we say Sanctus, as we're saying yes, we're saying fiat, we're saying thank you, Lord. We're giving thanksgiving to God. We're making a round. Those are the impromptu rounds. And that's why God says everything he's created is there as a subtle constant reminder. We see God in everything. And we don't necessarily see God's face in the tree, although some of us may see it. But we recognize God's glory, his love, his benevolence from that tree, from the fruit, from the leaves, from the photo, from everything. Again, we can be like those people we talked about again with those drivers on the road that weren't paying attention. You know, we want to be acknowledging this in every aspect of our life, but of course, when we're driving, we need to focus on the road. But when we're walking, we should always be glorifying God. And again, in the divine will is the only way to glorify God on the level of God, due to God, which is the way Adam prayed, which is the way Eve prayed, which is the way Jesus prayed, and that's the way God wants us to pray.
Amen. I got about 3 minutes before we got to take a break, Peter. So, Peter mentioned his website. It's queenofthedivinewill.org. When you first look at it, you're probably going to be overwhelmed. Just hang in there. There's a search bar where you can search for specific topics like understanding the Mass or what we're talking about today. He has a page on the Our Father prayer. I also want to put out there that the cenacle that I belong to, we get together now. It's 7 days a week. The group gets together. Not everybody's there every day. But it's 6 a.m. till 7:30. Sounds like a lot, but it's really not. It's an online meeting, so and nobody turns on their cameras, so you don't have to get dialed up. You don't have to worry about what you look like. And basically, we say quite a few prayers. We pray some rounds, and then we read from the Book of Heaven. Now, the information about our cenacle can be found on my website at notsaintsyet.org. That's notsaintsyet.org. If you go to the Divine Will Cenacle page, and then anything that you might need in order to participate can be found on the Cenacle Resources page, including rosaries that were updated, the booklets, as well as audio versions of them were uploaded today. So, but if you're interested in joining, by all means, get in touch with me at ken@inhissign.com. That's ken@inhissign.com. And perhaps, Peter, I don't know if we've opened up the phone lines. We do have two phone lines that are open if anybody wants to call. It's 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906 or 888-343-2436. 8-4. So I got about a minute, Peter. Anything you want to take a break now, or you got something?
I'd like to lead into the break with something very, very short. I may come back to it later to continue it. This is basically we're talking about what Ken said also about, you know, this gift's so great. We say the Our Father prayer. We don't really give much credence to it. As Jesus says, now with a gift so great, a happiness so immense, a right of divine likeness with the acquisition of the nobility of our offspring, which had been rejected. Do you, Louisa, and you listening, think it is something easy that the divine sovereignty, without being prayed, with no one giving a thought to receiving this kingdom of the supreme fiat, would give it to creatures? End quote. The repetition over 2,000 years has helped, Jesus says, to dispose souls to want it, to remember it, and to recognize it once it comes, because it may be coming very, very soon.
Amen. All right, we have reached the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a short break. Again, the guest today is Peter DePalma, and we'll talk more about the Our Father prayer and the gift of the divine will when we come back. Don't go away.
Have you ever heard of seed faith, the biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the Scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your financial and prayerful support kept us on the air for over 40 years. And we can't do it without you. Again, the golf outing coming up on October 17th is a great way to help us financially. And you can get the information on our website, inhissign.com. At the bottom of the homepage is a link there to download the brochure. And without any further ado, we will go back to my good friend Peter DePalma, all the way from Kunkeltown, Pennsylvania, up there off of Route 33. And we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer, Louisa Picaretta, Jesus Christ, and the Gift of the Divine Will. So where you want to go next, Peter?
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, you said Route 33, the Mahoning Valley exit, 74 off of 476. I know it well. I had a daughter that went to Villanova, so I used to make that trek almost every weekend.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful area of the country. That's why this this radio ministry is there. I wanted to, Ken, I don't want to be a glutton here, but what we've been talking about, I mean, God summarizes so well and helps us understand this. It's going to take me about 3 minutes. I'm going to try to speak quickly without too quickly, and then give it over to you. But this is, again, I think, explains it. And this is from Volume 13. Again, carries the church in Imprimatur, Neil Amstutz, September 13th, 1926. 13th is always a popular day in our household because it's Our Lady of Fatima. So here's what our blessed Jesus says. Quote, "Now, who until now has ever prayed with interest, with insistence, laying down the sacrifice of his own life so that the kingdom of the supreme fiat may come upon earth and may triumph and dominate? No one. It is true that the church has been reciting the Our Father from the time I came upon earth, in which one asks, 'Thy kingdom come so that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven.' But who thinks about the request they make? It can be said that the whole importance of such a request remains in my will, and that creatures recite it just to recite it, without understanding and without any interest in obtaining what they ask for. Therefore, my daughter Louisa, and for you listening, everything is hidden in secret while one lives on earth, and therefore everything seems a mystery. And if anything is known, it is so limited that man has always something to say about all that I operate in my works through the veils of creatures. They reach the point of saying, 'And why has this good and these knowledges not been given before, while there have been so many great saints? But in eternity, there were no secrets. I will reveal everything, and I will show all things and my works with justice, and how justice can never be given had there not been sufficient acts in the creatures to be able to give what we want to give.'" End quote. So everything that has happened, we have to be so thankful to the saints, the prophets, the mystics, all those good souls in history, because it's taken a certain amount of acts. We don't know the number. We don't have to know the number. We just know there's a certain number that God needed to have before he can make this gift available. Now that it's available, there's a certain number of souls that must say yes, must commit their fiat, must give the opportunity to Christ to give us back everything. We must have faith in God himself. And when that number is reached, all of humanity will receive it, at least the humanity that's left. Because again, the chastisements are real. Jesus says they're going to happen. Yes, they're going to be mitigated. They could be mitigated. They are being mitigated. I really believe through the divine will. But they're going to happen. And they may be horrific. But those left, he says, those left, those remaining, those alive at the end of the chastisements will be those souls living in the divine will. End quote. That's not what I'm saying. That's not wishful thinking on my part. That's what Jesus says. Now, again, we don't want to embrace this gift, oh, so I can be alive. No. We want to embrace this gift because God wants us to do that. We always want to please God, not ourselves.
Amen. And, you know, that I just think about my own journey. And, you know, when I first started hearing these words, you know, God's will, my will, thy will this, will that, and realized how much trouble my human will got me into. And, you know, trying to learn how to do God's will. And even in trying to do that, in trying to do God's will, there's a, you know, I was trying to go through a discernment process and, you know, should I do this or should I do that? What does God want me to do? And And then it was like a natural progression to start, instead of thinking about doing God's will, is to live God's will. And, you know, it's kind of been in front of us, I think, for a long, long time. And like you, we used the word explication, where we get more information, we flesh out further exactly what Jesus meant when he did his teachings during his public ministry, and through the writings and experience of the saints, and the you know, like you say, we look up to these people. They lived holy, saintly lives, and we believe that they're truly in heaven as a result of the lives they lived in doing God's will. And so I think striving to do God's will is never a bad thing, but here's a gift that God wants to give all of us. And it's certainly not easy, especially if you're not aware or have just started to learn about it. And there's some words that we throw out there, you know, the acts and the rounds, and it's just a whole new way of praying. And yet this is how, again, like Jesus taught the apostles how to pray the Lord's Prayer, he taught Louisa how to pray the rounds. And probably the best explanation I heard of was in a video that I sent to you last night from Mother Gabriel and Sister Francesca, that's out on YouTube now, with them. They're actually in Medjugorje right now, and I guess the video is from a couple of days ago. And, you know, in these rounds where and Sister Francesca does a great job, you know, round means it's a circle. And when we pray in the rounds, we acknowledge that God has done things for us, and we're going to glorify God by giving it back to him. And it struck me the other week, you know, because you can make these rounds anything. Like you were talking about doing it when you're driving or going for a walk, and you know, praising God and thanking God for the leaves on the trees and the flowers and this and that. It hit me the other week, and I think it was as a result of something Father Celso said about our sacramental life, that I started making the rounds through my sacraments. You know, and I went back, and you know, I couldn't do it being baptized as an infant, but going back and, you know, praising God and thanking God for Holy Cross Church in Germantown, which is where I was baptized, and praising God and thanking him for Father Kelly, who actually baptized me, and thanking God for my parents, who you know, took me to be baptized, and then making reparations for the folks that were there that had no idea what baptism was but went anyway, and those that, you know, making reparations for those that really didn't want to be there, but maybe they came for the party afterwards. And you can do that with your baptism and with your first confession and your first Holy Communion, with your marriage, in my case, two marriages. So it's basically, we've used the word glory a lot. It's giving the glory back to God for all that he has given us. And I think we've only seen an inkling of what he really wants to give us. But as a people, as a world, you know, we need to get on the same page and keep moving towards it. And, you know, based on the retreat that was out at Malvern at the end of June, beginning of July, and the number of people that showed up and were on a waiting list, and the other folks that we're starting to hear about, Peter's got a radio broadcast he does now on the oldest Catholic radio station in the world in Nome, Alaska. And so this is spreading. And people are becoming more and more aware and asking questions and what have you. But, you know, we need to ask for it. And that's the key. If Jesus wants to be asked for it, God wants us to ask for it. And when we do, if we make sure we're in a state of grace and what have you, that he will give it to us. It may take a little time, but he'll give it to us.
Well said. Well said, Ken. Yeah, it is, you know, the divine will really is the reciprocal of love. But it's the reciprocal of the greatest love there can be, because it's the reciprocal, it's us giving back God's love. So God gives us his love, we give it back to him. That's the greatest love that God can receive back, because it's his own. Again, living in exile like we are right now, we give our love to God. And yes, God loves to see that. In fact, we have a program with Ken on Wednesdays. We talk about the journey because we don't just look at when we get to where we're going. It's enjoying and benefiting from the journey itself. But I think that's something that we miss a lot of times. Just like you were saying, Ken, about doing the will of God. Well, we must first do the will of God before we can possess it. Mm. You know, we have to pass through it. It's like playing Monopoly. You can't collect the $200 until you pass go. So we have to do the will first. And then that was the greatest aspiration that the saints could ever achieve. That's what they can try to achieve. But now God has raised the bar. Remember, he's enchanted now. He's giving us more grace and said, okay, I'm going to take you past there. I'm not going to allow you to do my will. I'm going to give you in possession of your will. I'm going to give you back what the original gift to Adam and to all of humanity was that Adam lost for all of humanity. So again, it's the new, but it's the oldest. And that's what was so attracted to that, the oldest radio station in the world. Actually, they literally put, they have people with aluminum foil antennas really, truly living in igloos that are picking up. That's how they get their, there's no church. They receive mass via radio and a spiritual communion. So just beautiful. What a faith. And we should have that faith.
Yeah. Amen.
We will.
Yeah, absolutely we will. whether we want to or not. And like you've mentioned a couple times, this idea of living the pre-lapsarian life of Adam, I don't think that, and I can't always wrap my head around it, you know, what's that going to be like? Because I think it'll be a completely different existence. And sometimes the unknown is what scares people. And we'll continue to do even bad things because it's what we're familiar with and what we use to cope with life. But if we knew what it was that God really wants to give us, and not that it's easy, but it is easy. But you have to take but you have to take the time to learn about it, try to understand it, and like I said before, ask for it.
Yeah. So right, Ken. You know, it's getting past that hurdle of trusting God, and then it does become easy because, you know, basically then God does all the work. Let's take the greatest example of our Blessed Mother. When the angel came to her and she questioned, not because she was challenging God, how can this be? She wanted to know how this can be so that she can do the best job possible. She wanted to serve God, please God. And when she gave her fiat, think about it, she said yes. And God did all the rest. Everything was done for her. She cooperated. That's what he's asking us to do. And you know, you talk about Adam. We didn't know much about Adam's life at all. Yes, it was scary. What did he do? How much work did he have? Well, actually, Ken, I look at it now. It's like retirement with no bills, with no obligations, and just you and God. Adam's full-time job was to go around all of creation, glorifying God, honoring God, loving God every moment of the day. And that was his full-time job. And we learned also from the book of heaven, why did he fall? Because Jesus says, Adam took his gaze off of God. Just like Peter took his gaze off of Jesus while walking on the water. Well, he took his gaze off Jesus and he sank. Adam took his gaze off God, he fell. So what does it teach us? Keep our gaze on God.
Amen. And, it sounds like something where I'd have to spend the rest of my life in church or someplace. And how do I do that in my daily life? And, you know, where is God? He's in everybody we meet. And so, you may not have, think that gazing on the homeless or the addict or the downtrodden is gazing upon God. But if you, see and come to a point where you can actually see God in them and realize that, God is truly everywhere, but most importantly, he's in his creation and in the humans he's created, that we have every opportunity in the world to gaze upon God and look for his glory in other people. And that's one of the, I think, at least in my own life, the ministry that I've been asked to be a part of on various levels and in various ways, whether it's, part of a retreat movement or an addiction ministry or the Calyx Society, whatever you know, I've been called to do or asked to do. I think that that's the ultimate part of it, is that God's allowing me to see himself in all these people and realize how broken and wounded and that they are, and to try to give them just a little bit of what he's given me. And when I look at that in terms of what now God is trying to do for the world in terms of his divine will, it's there's like no comparison. But I think you need some place to start and these mini revelations, if you will, of what God actually wants to do in your life before you can accept that he wants to give you something as grand as the divine will. And it's easy, but it can be really difficult to try to fathom. And at the same time, I'm thinking about my kids. Like if I want to leave here tonight and go home and sit down and have dinner and say, hey, you want to spend the rest of eternity glorifying God? And they're going to look at me and like, what? We're not going to watch the Eagles game on Sunday? We need to get away from all those things that we thought have brought us joy. And like we've been saying here, you know, put that gaze back on God, because that's the ultimate joy. That's where it's going to come from.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And Jesus, he addressed that too, Ken. You know, that's a concern that we all have. Great, great point. You know, what about our families? What about those who don't want anything to do with the divine will? Well, Jesus says he's asking us, like Isaiah speaks about, he's asking us to step in the breach. Hmm. Are we willing to do what those others will not do, don't want to do, don't know to do? Will we do that for them? Are we willing to sacrifice our life for that? Now, these are all those things, those ingredients that comprise an ardent desire, which Jesus says we must have. See, this will all come natural as we begin to trust God, because God doesn't give us all grace at one time. He tethers it out little by little so that we can fully masticate it, fully understand it, and grow in each level. But he's constantly giving us, and that's just a beautiful thing. And you mentioned easy. Well, you know what? You're actually articulating and repeating a word that Jesus used. And this is probably one of the most motivating statements and quotes of Jesus. Again, I think this should give everyone a lift. He says, I don't have it in front of me. I'll do the best I can to perfectly paraphrase it. But he says, I had to make this gift of living the divine will easy and accessible to all. I had to make it easy and accessible in all situations, in all circumstances, and in all conditions, and in all places. I forgot that. So if he's making it available in all these places, there's nowhere we have to go. There's no more chasing butterflies. I don't have to be there, be here, be where. No. In fact, Jesus says, you want to find, he tells the woman, I love this. He says, stop looking for me in all these places, because she's thinking about, I can't go here, I can't go there. He says, you want to find me the quickest, you want to find me in the fullest? Look within yourself. Mm. That's why we can be a paraplegic. We don't need to do anything. That doesn't mean be lazy and slouching in the chair and say, okay, God, you take this. No, but he hasn't excluded anyone. If we don't have the proper education, Luis had a first grade education, and look what he gives her. Father Gobi, they said, couldn't even say the mass currently properly. And what did they give him? Mary gives him locutions. Sister Faustina, she was ostracized because she couldn't do anything well. You scrub the floors. He loves the little because he can show his might in the little. It's available to everyone in all circumstances and all. What does Jesus say? He said, yeah, we have to know the divine, but we have to read it. Yes, we have to study it. But what does Jesus say? If you're in the state of grace and you have a desire for this gift and you have the right intentions, I guarantee I'll give it to you. Now, giving us the gift does not mean we're going to live like Louisa right away. But that means we've got our foot in the door. That means the graces begin to overflow into us. And now the journey begins. And it's very easy from that point. It's just so difficult to get there, to give God that trust when the world says, no, you can't believe in that. You can't see it. You can't prove it. Remember what Jesus says in volume 2, faith equals God. There's no other explanation.
Yeah. And I just equate it to, you know, when I first got into recovery and, you know, I would hear people say all the time, yeah, it's an easy program for complicated people. And it, you know, really, when you look at a 12-step program, it's pretty easy. Anybody could do it, but it's getting over those hurdles, the everything that you've practiced up until that point, that not that it was for naught, but it was all leading to this particular moment. And I don't think that we do that enough. I was asked, speaking at a communion breakfast on Sunday at a parish over in South Jersey. And in preparing for that, I went back through my life. The topic's going to be Holy Communions versus Unholy Communions. And I went back through my life and I looked at all the unholy communions I had, the people that I got together with and the things that we did where, you know, there wasn't even a thought of God in any of it. And I look now at the Holy Communions in my life. And, the greatest of them is going to Mass and receiving our Lord in Holy Communion. But I'm a part of so many other Holy Communions right now with groups of friends that I have, with the Calyx Society, now with the Divine Will Cenacle, and a lot of little Holy Communions in between. And every one of them has been leading to this moment where I am right now. And I think when we do that, when we look back over the course of our lives, and, you know, some of us may have had really difficult lives, a lot of loss, a lot of suffering, illness perhaps, but God allowed that to happen. I know you use the term permissible will all the time, and God's permissible will, he allows these things to happen because he's trying to get you to where you are right now. And, oh, by the way, you haven't arrived. You are where you are right now, but more things are coming that are going to further push us to where he needs us to be. And I think in the end, that's going to be in the divine will. Got about 3 minutes left, Peter.
Oh, real quickly on that topic, you know, God will put obstacles in our road because those obstacles are opportunity to exercise our virtues. I mean, how can we improve on patience if we're never challenged with impatience? Okay, so we have to have these in our midst really to grow, and that's what's so beautiful about this gift. But you know, it's all about trusting Jesus. Everything that we've had in our, and how about this? When somebody says this, and this is challenging for some priests to recognize, Jesus says that the gift of living in the divine will is greater than the Eucharist.
Uh-oh, now you did it.
Many will say, how can that be? And it's true. But the Eucharist is the divine will. But the church teaches that the Eucharist, for the 15 or 20 minutes until the host is dissolved, is present in us. That's the fullness of the divine will. Everything for 15 or 20 minutes. So what's greater, 15 or 20 minutes of everything, or a perennial, every moment, everything? That's where the divine will is greater than Eucharist. It's not God is greater than God, but a perennial communion with God is greater than a 20-minute communion with God. That's the delineation, and that's what he's trying to put forth. And that makes sense if we think about it, pray on it, and don't minimize anything, but just say everything, as he stated, everything has been a seed. What do seeds do? Seeds grow into something. Everything is growing into the divine will. All roads, all orders, everything is aiming and driving and striving for the divine will.
Amen. All right, Peter. I can't thank you enough, brother. I mentioned during the first half of the show that if you're interested in learning more, maybe become a part of the Cenacle that I'm a part of, where we gather on at 6 o'clock each morning. You can find the information on my website at Ken, or at notsaintsyet.org. That's notsaintsyet.org. If you want to get in touch with me, best way is probably via email at ken@inhissign.com. That's ken@inhissign.com. If you have any questions or want to get involved, I'll be more than happy to provide those answers for you. Peter, thank you again. Another month flew by, and it's always great to be with you, brother. And I guess we'll be together again in about 63 minutes. So look forward to that as well.
Yeah, right. Same here. Well, again, another month of opportunity lies ahead of us. That's all it is.
Amen. So thanks again for our listeners. Thank you again for whatever part of the 2 hours you were with us today. We certainly appreciate it. If you do live in the Catholic community of the Holy Spirit in South Jersey, that's St. Joseph's Parish in Woodstown in the parish of Mullica Hill. And you come over to the communion breakfast on Sunday. Make sure you stop by and say hello. Introduce yourself. It would be great to meet you. It should be a great morning. I'm looking forward to it. And again, I can't thank you enough for all that you do for us here at In His Sign. Please take a look at that brochure on the golf outing found on our website at inhissign.com. And support us as best you can, either by playing golf, being a sponsor, or just making a donation. It's always helpful, especially in these times. I'm not intimate with the finances here at In His Sign, but I am kind of intimate with the finances at Our House Ministries. And just because of the state of the economy, I think donations are down everywhere, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case here at In His Sign. So whatever you can do to help is always appreciated. So I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of His hand. Take care, and God bless.